Hello, murmured Ben shyly. Twigleg bowed. Goodness, what a funny elf you are, said the girl, looking at him. I've never seen an elf like you before. Twigleg bowed again, with a flattered smile on his face.
I'm not an elf, honored lady. I'm a homunculus.
A homunculus? The girl looked at Barnabas Greenbloom in surprise. This is Twigleg, Guinevere, explained the professor. He was made by an alchemist.
Really?
Guinevere looked at the homunculus in amazement. My word, I've never met a homunculus before. What creature did the alchemist use to make you? Twigleg shrugged his shoulders regretfully.
I'm afraid I don't know, noble lady.
Guinevere, the professor interrupted them, putting his arm around Ben's shoulders. Let me introduce my young friend Ben. I've already told you a lot about him. Ben, this is my daughter, Guinevere. Ben blushed red as a beet. Hello, he murmured. Guinevere smiled at him.
Then you must be the dragon rider, she said. The dragon rider.
The woman sitting at the low table next to Guinevere folded her arms. My dear Barnabas, would you be good enough to introduce me to this remarkable young man?
Of course.
Barnabas Greenbloom handed Ben a spare cushion and then sat down beside him at the table.
This, my dear Zubaida, is my friend Ben, the dragon rider. I've already told you a great deal about him. And this, dear Ben, is the famous dracologist Dr. Zubaida Khalib, he added, indicating the stout little woman with her brightly colored sari with gray hair and a long braid hanging down to her waist. Dr. Khalib bowed her head, smiling.
It is a great honor to meet your dragon rider, she told Ben in his own language. Barnabas has told me some remarkable things about you. He says you are not just a dragon rider, but a friend of Brownie's too. And I can see for myself that there's a genuine homunculus sitting on your shoulder. I'm very glad to see you. Barnabas wasn't sure if you and your companions would come, so we've been waiting for you anxiously ever since he arrived a couple of days ago. And where, she said, looking at Ben hopefully, is your friend the dragon?
Quite close, said Ben. He and Sorrel are hiding by the river. I came into the village first to see if it would be safe for them, he added, looking at Barnabas Greenbloom. That's what the professor advised. Zubaida Khalib nodded.
That was sensible of you. Although I don't think they'll be in any danger in this village.
The fact is, you're not the first dragon rider the place has known.
But more about that later.
She looked at the boy and smiled. I'm glad you acted as you did. The arrival of a dragon would have created so much excitement you'd probably never have reached my hut at all. You see, said Zubaida Khalib, pouring Ben a cup of tea as her bangles jingled like the little bells at the door. I expect by now you take the dragon for granted, but my heart flutters like a young girl's at the thought of meeting one at last. And I'm sure it would be just the same for the people of this village.
Well, knowing a dragon is still rather exciting for me too, said Ben, casting a quick glance at Guinevere, who was smiling at Twigleg. Much flattered, the homunculus blew her a kiss.
You'd better get Firedrake here as soon as possible, said Professor Greenbloom. I have some news for the three of you.
He rubbed his nose. I'm afraid it's no coincidence that we meet again so soon. I came here on purpose to warn you. Ben looked at him in surprise. Warn us? The professor nodded.
Yes, indeed.
He took off his glasses and cleaned them.
I have had an extremely unpleasant encounter with Nettlebrand, the Golden One.
Twigleg almost stopped breathing.
The Golden One, said Ben. The dragon who lost the golden scales? Did you know he was the one who drove the dragons away from the sea? It wasn't a sea monster, after all.
Yes, Zubaida's already told me about that. His name should have occurred much sooner. Nettlebrand, the Golden One. Ooh, terrible tales are told of him. Although they are all hundreds of years old. Except for the one about that attack on the dragons just off the coast here.
Twigleg fidgeted uneasily on Ben's shoulder. I must admit, my boy, the professor went on. I still feel weak at the knees and I think of that monster. I owe it only to my knowledge of mountain dwarves that I'm sitting here now. Do you still have that golden scale I gave you to look after for Firedrake?
Ben nodded. It is one of his, isn't it? The monster's?
Yes, and I'm not sure you ought to keep it.
But I'll tell you the whole story when Sorrel and Fardrag are with us.
I'd say you should fetch them now.
What do you think, Zubaydah? Said the professor with an inquiring look at the dracologist.
Zubaydah nodded. The dragon is certainly in no danger from the people of this village, she said, and strangers seldom come here.
But what about the ravens?
Asked Twiglek.
The others looked at him in surprise.
Oh, yes, that's right, the ravens, cried Ben. I'd forgotten all about them. There were two of them on the roof of this hut. We think they're spies, spying for that, what did you call him?
Nettlebrand, said Professor Greenbloom. He and Zubaydah exchanged concerned glances.
Yes, those ravens, the dracologist folded her hands.
Ben saw that every finger of her left hand wore a ring with a different gemstone in it.
I've been worried about them myself for some time. They were here when I arrived. Usually they roost up by the tomb, but I sometimes feel they're following me about.
Of course, I immediately thought of the old tale of the blackbirds darkening the moon to prevent the dragons from escaping the monster. I've tried to chase them away, but every time I shoo them off, they're back within minutes.
Sorrel has a special method, said Ben, rising from his cushion. They don't come back after she's dealt with them.
Right, I'll get the other two.
It's a dangerous method, muttered Twigleg.
The rest of them looked at him in surprise, and the homunculus hunched down his head between his shoulders, scared.
My dear Twigleg, said the professor, do you have any inside knowledge of those ravens?
No, well, why would I?
Twigleg made himself as small as possible.
No, I just think it's better not to provoke them. Ravens can be very nasty birds, he added, clearing his throat, especially ravens with red eyes.
Yes, the professor nodded. Yes, I've heard that myself. As for your suspecting that they're spies, he said, leading Ben to the door of them, Nettlebrand knew you had been to see the genie. I had the clear impression that someone close to you has been telling him about everything you do. I was racking my brains to think who it might be, and then...
The ravens? Ben interrupted, horrified. You think the ravens told him what we were doing? But I didn't see any ravens in the genie's ravine.
Twigleg first turned red, and then white as a sheet. He began trembling all over.
What's the matter, Twigleg? Asked Ben, looking at him in concern.
Twigleg
steadied his shaking hands on his knees, not daring to meet Ben's eyes.
I didn't see one, he stammered. Raven. Yes, definitely. A raven roosting up in palm trees when the rest of you were asleep. I didn't want to wake you.
Thank goodness no one could hear his heart thumping. Well, that's unfortunate, murmured Barnabas Greenbloom. But if Sorrel knows a way of shooing them off, perhaps we needn't worry too much.
Even if our friend the homunculus here doesn't think much of brownie methods. Brownies and homunculi tend not to get along too well. Isn't that right, Twigleg?
Twigleg managed a feeble smile. What could he say? That enchanted ravens are vengeful birds? That Sorrel might already have thrown one stone too many? That his master had an endless supply of ravens?
Ben shrugged his shoulders and pulled back the door curtain. I'll go fetch Firedrake, he said. If the ravens are here, they're going to notice him sometime anyway.
Zubaydah Khalib rose from her cushions. We'll get all the village cats to go up on the rooftops, she said, and under the trees. Perhaps they'll keep the ravens away so that they can't hear what we're discussing.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Ben made her a shy little bow, glanced again at Guinevere, and hurried off. The villagers still waiting outside the hut looked at him expectantly.
Tell them we'll be back soon, Ben whispered to Twigleg, and tell them we'll be bringing a dragon with us.
If you say so,
said the mannequin, who then translated it into Urdu.
A murmur of astonishment rose in the air. The villagers drew back, and Ben and Twigleg set off.